now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, I will be talking about what happened in Manchester. I'll talk about the psyop surrounding it. I'll talk about the hybrid event it may be, and I'll explain what I mean by that. And I'll talk about the fact that Drake, the rap performer who was formerly a, I wouldn't call him a child TV star, but he was a teenage actor in the TV show Degrassi about high school kids. Drake is the son of a Jew in Canada, and his mother is black, and so he would be what some people refer to as mulatto, half black, half white, except the white part of him is actually Jewish. And similar to how they spun out the Justin Bieber origin story, where they say Justin Bieber started putting out these YouTube videos of himself, and along the way he was discovered, quote-unquote. That is a tall tale. They try to say the same thing about Drake, that he began putting out his own music and his own songs on the internet, social media, etc., and then along the way he was discovered. No, his father was a Canadian Jew who greased the platforms to get him into a TV show about high school kids, and eventually greased the platform so he could have his own record label contract. And now the music industry has pushed him to the point where he's a big rapper nowadays. What's interesting is the day before Manchester, Drake, and I'm going to have a lot to talk about today, the white Draco, because I think that ultimately what happened in Manchester was, I hate to say it, but it was a child sacrifice. And you'll have to hear me out and listen to my reasoning. I don't want to jump all over the place, but I think, just to give you a sneak preview of what I'm going to talk about, I think what they've done over time is make some of their hoaxed events so blatantly obvious, using crisis actors, some of the same crisis actors, busting them again and again and again, and then they're putting up all these questionable photos released to the public, ham crisis actors, a lot of woo-woo occultic numerological symbology that people can point at and say, oh, this proves it was a false flag, this proves it was a hoax. I think people need to differentiate between a false flag and a hoax. I think nowadays there's probably a hybrid between the two, where, and it's possible, this already started with Paris. If you remember the nightclub where it was alleged that a bunch of shooters got into the nightclub in Paris where this band was performing and the shooters opened up and killed a bunch of people. It's questionable whether anyone was killed in that nightclub, that music club. However, it's quite possible that there were casualties, that some people were killed. Some people did disappear. They may have been intentionally putting out these hoaxed events, these false flags, and being so shabby about it, and being so amateurish about it, that people get almost jaded to the point where they think that anything that comes along is of necessity a hoax, ergo, no casualties, no one was killed. Oh, there's that girl crying into the cell phone again, right? It's quite possible they've created a hybrid of that, where they put out enough fake stage pictures, enough fake ham crisis actors pretending to be scared, pretending to be hurt, enough woo-woo numerology and occultic clues and signs, but then people really got killed. They just don't show you that part. And I'll elaborate more on this, but I just wanted to kind of set the groundwork. Getting back to Drake and understanding who Drake is. And once again, I have to give credit to The Black Child. Go to YouTube and go to the channel of The Black Child. The Black Child put up a video which shows Drake in a white outfit in Las Vegas. I think it's in between the Bellagio and the mock Eiffel Tower there in that big man-made lake. The day before this event in Manchester, the Manchester Sports Arena where the Ariana Grande concert was, the day before that, for the Billboard Music Awards, Drake, who won like 13 awards, right? There's that occultic woo-woo numerology going on again. Drake gave a performance in what you can describe as a lake of fire. You've got to see the video, and we'll post the video on our website. He's singing his song, Gyal Chester. Gyal Chester. Gyalchester. And according to Drake and his followers, Gyal Chester refers to Manchester, actually the parish of Manchester on the island of Jamaica. But what are the odds that the day before this, what amounts to a mass child sacrifice in Manchester, the very day before, Drake, dressed in a white outfit, Drake, White Draco, and I'll get more into that later, sings this song, Gyal Chester. And let me read you some of the lyrics. Get a load of these lyrics. Hermes Link, ice blue mink, tat on my ribs like I do not know what permanent is. They want me gone, wait for the kicker. Bury me now and I only get bigger. That's word to my nigga. Not many people know that a suburb of Manchester, UK, is Bury, B-U-R-Y, where I happened to give a speech last year right around this time. Good friend of mine, Chris Turner, put together the very first reptilian conference, RepCon. It was in Bury, a suburb of Manchester. So let me read that first stanza again. Hermes Link, ice blue mink, tat on my ribs like I do not know what permanent is. They want me gone, wait for the kicker. Now what is Manchester known for? Sports, goals, kickers. Wayne Rooney, right? They want me gone, wait for the kicker, bury me now. Bury's a suburb of Manchester. And I only get bigger, that's word to my nigga. Now, look at the first line. Hermes, Link, ice blue mink. Who's Hermes? Hermes is the messenger of the gods. Hermes is the Greek god, and he wears a helmet with two wings on, with a wing on either side of the helmet, and he's got wings on his ankles. Hermes is associated in some esoteric mythological literature with phallic worship. And what do you see where Drake, the White Draco, was giving his performance of Gyal Chester? And remember, Gyal Chester supposedly refers to all the pretty girls in Manchester Parish, Jamaica. But where were all the pretty girls in Manchester? It was in Manchester, UK. Who was the performer? Ariana Grande, who publicly talks about her interactions and whatnot with demons. And you look at her album, it's called, what, Dangerous Woman? She's wearing like this Playboy bunny friggin' sex kitten outfit on the album cover. There's so many correspondences. But let me get back to Hermes. Hermes is the messenger of the gods. One of his roles was to lead, as a herald, take souls to Hades, the underworld. Okay? So when you look at the symbology of this, Hermes, i.e. the messenger of the gods, is speaking on behalf of the gods, okay? And in our example, this whole thing reeks of stellar, astronomical, otherworldly stuff. This is not just occultic, satanic stuff. It's that too. But we need to get beyond the surface level, right? If you want surface level, go tune into AJ Alex Jones. And by the way, Alex Jones and InfoWars is going right along with the whole Clash of Civilizations meme, right? Now, granted, and they are pointing out to their credit that the elite, so-called, are the ones that are behind the rape invasion of all the Wahhabist, Salafist from North Africa, from certain countries in the Horn of Africa, and other places where they basically hate women and see women as property, what have you. Always remember that it's the tribalist collectivists that have turned loose all these rapists in this rape invasion. If you go on YouTube, you can even hear Barbara Spector talking about how we Jews are the ones that are behind this mass immigration, okay? So InfoWars does a good job of pointing this out. They don't say it's the tribalist collectivist behind it, but they do say, yes, the elite are bringing in all these illegals and they're running amok these illegal Wahhabist Muslims, and they're running around, running amok, raping people, raping little girls. And they're a protected species. Nothing is happening to them. They don't seem to get in trouble for what they do, right? And we must see this as asymmetrical warfare, what the wonks in the war colleges are calling asymmetrical warfare, all-out warfare from every possible angle. Guerrilla warfare, proxy warfare, psychological warfare, the lot. They call it asymmetrical warfare, full-spectrum dominance, basically. I spoke last week about how the social justice warriors are a de facto proxy army. Well, this rape invasion force from some of the hardcore Muslim countries and the African countries, they are a proxy army too. So kudos to InfoWars and other pretty much surface level alternative news outlets for pointing this out. But they fall right into the Clash of Civilizations meme, which the tribalists and collectivists have been putting out for some time. This notion that one day there will be this all-out war between the Muslims and the West, right? Of course, it's going to be the West who's been targeted. By going out and saying, oh yes, it's, you know, the Muslims again responsible for Manchester, ISIS, which we all know was a controlled intelligence asset, PSYOP, InfoWars and others like them are falling for this Clash of Civilizations meme. So we need to get beyond the surface level. We need to get beyond the barely above surface level of AJ, Alex Jones, InfoWars. That's all basic stuff. And we need to get beyond the basic, oh, look at all the numerology. This is occult. This is satanic. Yes, we know that. But it's deeper than that. And this is where probably I'm going to lose a lot of people out there who are still mostly just stuck in the surface level of this, which is fine because this information is not meant for people stuck in the surface level. It's meant for people that, you know, work at a higher dimensional perspective. Okay, back to Hermes. Hermes' father was Zeus. Hermes' mother was Maia. Maia is one of the seven sisters of the Pleiades constellation. Maia. When did this event happen? In Manchester, UK, it happened in May, May 22nd. They're using the number 22 to create 66. There were allegedly 22 victims killed. Alleged perpetrator, who will never know who was really behind it, because, of course, he, according to the narrative, he was a suicide bomber. Well, the person that they've scapegoated as the patsy, let's say, is 22 years old. And it happened on May 22nd, right? 22 victims, perpetrator 22 years old, happened on May 22nd, 666. 22 times 3 is 666. Maia, May, happened May 22nd. Drake, the white Draco, was doing his performance, and I'm going to read more of the lyrics in a moment, of Gialchester. the pretty girls in Manchester, not as they intend, or they claim, Manchester Parish, Jamaica. Oh no, Manchester, UK. He sang his song Gialchester there in Las Vegas, which is quite near Route 66. Okay, and there are other correspondences too. Okay, the symbol of Hermes is the caduceus, which is the staff with the serpents entwined around it, tip there. Now, let's look at the different names of Hermes. In Egyptian, Hermes is Tahuti, better known in the West as Thoth, T-H-O-T-H. Who is Thoth? Thoth is the god of magic, okay? Also, let me get back to Hermes for a second. Hermes was considered a trickster god, due to his cunning and clever personality. He was a trickster. He was clever. He was cunning. Okay? Messenger of the gods, conducted souls to Hades, the underworld. A trickster. Hermes' son was Pan, half man, half goat, right? And when you think of the goat of Mendes. I think Pan has been giving a bad name. I won't go into it now, but Pan is a nature spirit, right? And so what the fundamentalists have done is they've taken a look at Pan, they've taken a look at Baphomet, and now they hate goats, right? But, you know, that was just a hijacking of a long-standing nature spirit, Pan. Anyway, Hermes' son was Pan, half-man, half-goat. And let's get back to Egypt. Tahuti was his name in Egypt. Thoth was the god of magic. Thoth was also connected to the moon, a lunar deity. It was Thoth who played the game of drafts with the moon and won, which resulted in the calendar we have today, 365 days. So somehow this god Thoth was able to manipulate space and time and alter the orbits of the moon and Earth, right? Powerful guy there. Also, another correspondence is that in the Sumerian Anunnaki scheme of things, Thoth, if memory serves, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, was Ningasita, right? Ningasita was the Anunnaki name for Thoth, who was based there in ancient Egypt, what we call Egypt. Ningasita later relocated and became known in Mesoamerica as Quetzalcoatl, go figure, the feathered serpent. This is very important to understand, because now we're delving into the level of the gods and the goddesses, the ETs, the hyperdimensionals, those who manipulate space, those who manipulate time. Drake, the white Draco, and also remember, Ariana Grande was dressed up in white during the night of this event. This is basically a very public offering to the gods, all these children. And boy, you just see the infighting that's going on Facebook and the internet. All warfare is based on deception, Sun Tzu. He said that way back when, 2500 BC, thereabouts. All warfare is based on deception. Not some, not most, all. And you have to understand what the craft of intelligence is all about. Intelligence is determining the intentions and capabilities of a known or potential enemy, right? Intelligence is determining the intentions and capabilities of a known or potential enemy. Counterintelligence is thwarting the ability of a foe or potential foe of determining one's own intentions and capabilities. In World War II, the term deception was not even used. They had a euphemism for it, special means. MI5, there was a division within MI5 that specialized in disinformation. They were known as the 20 Committee. Double cross, because they used the Roman numerals of two X's. It was called the 20 Committee, but it looked like the Double Cross Committee. What they did, and they were masterful at it, I must admit, was they captured just about all the German agents in the UK, turned some of them, the rest they just, you know, executed. And then they forced them, under duress, to play back disinformation to the German Abwehr, German Foreign Intelligence, and also another branch of German intelligence known as Fremde Heer West, Foreign Armies West, which was responsible for determining the order of battle, i.e., the table of organization, the whole organization, the supreme command, all the subsidiary branches, all the different units, subunits, etc. Fremde Heer West was responsible for that. And they reported back to the German high command, the German staff. Fast forward to today, because of this artful ability on the part of the deceivers, the powers that be, to continually put out these blatant hoaxes and frauds in front of us, nowadays is a knee-jerk reaction on the part of many people. At any time one of these terrorist events occur, there's a knee-jerk reaction, oh, it's a fraud, no one was really killed, etc., etc. And a lot of people are falling for it, mea culpa. I was trending in the same direction, right? When I first heard of Manchester and others like it, I kind of roll my eyes. So here we go again. Just going to have a horde of crisis actors pretending to be scared and all this fake blood like we saw in the Boston Marathon. Okay? And that's how clever they are, folks. They give us a series of blatant hoaxes. Sandy Hook, Aurora, before that or after that, I can't remember. A Boston Marathon bombing, San Bernardino, Nice, where the supposedly crazed truck driver, lorry driver, ran over a bunch of people. Didn't happen. Shanksville, all right? Flight 93, Let's Roll, never happened. Fake, fake, fake. And so what it does is it inculcates this cynicism, this mistrustfulness, understandably, within people that are awake or semi-awake. And then they leave out all these clues like gingerbread crumbs, you know, leading back to this house in the Black Forest somewhere where these goblins and witches and whatnot are waiting, these bad beings, let's say. I don't want to pick on witches. And they get them to believe that any such incident is of necessity a hoax. No one was really killed. Not so fast. Because they don't show us the pictures of all the people blasted in Yemen and Syria and all that stuff. If they show it to us at all, they'll spin it around and say Assad did it. They'll spin it around and say that they're the victims of some kind of rocket attack, you know, perpetrated by, you know, evil forces against the good guys. And when there's American coalition casualties, they're never going to show us that. They're never going to show all the body bags coming back into Dover Air Force Base on the east coast of the U.S., all the people coming back killed in action or killed in accidents abroad in active service, right? So just because you don't see the bodies, it doesn't mean that there hasn't been people killed. And what they've done is they've cleverly put out, even in this event that's going on at the moment, in the aftermath of the event, by continually putting out these videos showing different aspects of how it was all faked. Oh, there was a drill. Oh, here come the drills again. There was a drill only a week or so, etc., etc. See, the trick is, when conducting disinformation operations is, and let me go back to World War II. The 20 Committee, the Double Cross Committee, wanted the Germans to believe that there was going to be two invasions. There was going to be a diversionary initial invasion in Normandy, and then there was going to be a larger invasion in the Pas-de-Calais area under General Patton. General Patton was commanding this fictitious organization called 1st United States Army Group, which existed only on paper. And they created a whole plethora of deception in the form of fake wireless signals, dummy troop concentrations, dummy landing craft, dummy troop carrier gliders, dummy installations. What they did in World War II, the British did, was they went and recruited all these people from the film industry, all these people from the English stage, the English theater, etc., etc. They even went to the trouble of getting a look-alike actor, a ham actor, to play British General Montgomery, who later became a field marshal, right? And the idea was not to tell the Germans what to believe. The idea was, by clever use of disinformation, selective playback of certain disinformation, to let the Germans come to their own false conclusion. That's how it's done. You plant all these clues over time, and this builds up a picture in the minds of the people you're trying to deceive. And so eventually they come to their own false conclusion. You're not telling them what to believe. You've planted these seeds carefully over months and years, to the point that when the Normandy invasion did happen, long story, I'm not going to get into it, but they believe, the Germans believe, Hitler believed it was a diversion, and therefore the Armored Reserve, which was a number of German panzer divisions, tank divisions, were not released to the front like Rommel, the commander on the scene, wanted. There was a division in command. I'm not going to go into it. There was a lot of infighting in the German high command. If I was in command at the time of Normandy, I would have turned loose the panzer divisions, and that would have been the end of the invasion, right? But that's just me. So Hitler and other high-ranking Germans held back the German armored forces in reserve because they were expecting another larger invasion by a fictitious army that didn't exist further north in the Pas-de-Calais. You see how that works, okay? So now, let's fast forward to today. Over and over and over, we're shown all these fake, hoaxed pictures, the same girl crying into the cell phone, and apparently she's popped up again. Now she's got, like, bleached hair. She's a blonde now, right? And the knee-jerk reaction of many people is, oh, this is just another hoaxed event. And then they'll, as proof, they'll send you all these pictures of all these crisis actors laying there. There's no blood. There's no one in agony. It's all fake, right? Now, we saw a clue of this because in Syria, when they tried to pin that nerve gas attack on Assad, those were real bodies. Those were real dead children. But the white helmets, right, glorified by the likes of George Clooney, they show the white helmets carrying them around. Complete nonsense, because if it was a nerve agent, they'd be dead if they touched these victims, right? In all likelihood, they were killed by chemical munitions that was provided by the West. And then they leak these pictures showing the white helmets smiling and laughing after they're supposed to be dead, right? So again, that further solidifies in the mind of so many people in the so-called truth community, these are all fake, these are all hoax, nothing to it. Oh no, this is a real sacrifice. Just because they didn't show you the bodies of the dead children doesn't mean it didn't happen. And here's another thing too. I happen to have good friends in the Manchester area. Yes, I do. And whereas other people just wait for something to pop up on their Facebook news feed, I send messages off. I get in combo with my good friends in the Manchester area, and they feed me back intel. And they know people who have disappeared. They know people that have died. And here's what's interesting, too. Some of the people, it seems, that died went there to pick up people. And that makes me wonder, because it was suggested in some quarters in the wake of the Paris incidents in that nightclub I mentioned earlier, that some people seem to disappear. I don't see that as being beyond the realm of possibility, because we have to remember just how evil these people are, right? What's to stop them from just rounding up people in the aftermath of the fake Paris nightclub shooting, music club shooting, and just taking them away, and then suddenly they're really gone, they're really dead, right? Because some people went to Manchester Arena to pick people up. Now, okay, we live in the age of cell phones, mobile phones, instantaneous communications. You don't have to go into the arena to pick somebody up. Everyone's filing out of it anyway. You're going against the flow of traffic, right? So everyone's going to go out and head in a certain direction where the cars, you know, wait to pick people up. That's how it's usually done. I've never been to this arena, but I've been to many other arenas over the years for concerts and whatnot. So, and another thing too is, even if you don't have real charges going off. Just the kind of panic that would ensue in a crowded arena can result in people getting killed. I think about The Who, December 3rd, 1979, Cincinnati Riverfront Coliseum. 11 people got stampeded to death. I was almost crushed to death at the Cheap Trick Pat Travers concert when I was in near the front of the stage. Also, Ronnie James Dio concert, San Jose Civic Center. I was right up front for Queensryche and, you know, barely got out of there, you know, with my wits and my health intact. So people can get harmed if a general panic ensues. Yes, I can see people getting trampled to death. I can see people getting pushed down tunnels and pushed down stairwells and getting trampled and stampeded and killed. That part is believable enough for me. At this Ozzy Osbourne concert, this is on the second tour with the last album that Randy Rhoads played on, and Diary of a Madman, I think it was, I was almost crushed going into the arena, Cow Palace, outside of San Francisco. The night before New Year's Eve, the fans outside were getting impatient, going crazy. They were throwing Molotov cocktails. They weren't just throwing bottles all over the place in the parking lot. They were throwing Molotov cocktails. They were breaking the barricades that were keeping people in line and setting up bonfires, right? And then finally they let us in, and then a stampede ensued. And I was like, I mean, imagine squeezing like a watermelon seed and it's squirting out between your fingers. That's what I was like, except I was squirted into the concert hall. But I easily could have been squished by all the people stampeding behind me. So I don't doubt the possibility that people would have been killed even if there hadn't been charges going off. Because that's what happens in these big arenas when panic ensues. So anyway, getting back to the concept of the deception, where I differed from most so-called truthers is, most truthers wait for something to come along that reinforces their preconceived bias, like I talked about, what the 20 Committee did to German intelligence in World War II. They were so effective that so many of the fake divisions, including completely contrived divisional insignia, that were created wholly in the fertile imaginations of people in MI5, they wound up in the German order of battle. They wound up on situation maps in German headquarters. All these different divisions with their particular unit symbols, with the names of their commanding officers and all the subordinate divisions, battalions, regiments, etc. Some of those didn't even exist. And yet they wound up in the order of battle of German intelligence. That's how effective they are, and that's how good they are at doing what they're doing. And so what I did was I contacted a couple of mates of mine that lived in the Manchester area, and they told me that they know of people personally who've died, mothers and young girls. So just because they didn't show you these bodies, and they don't show the bodies of people, dead soldiers and whatnot anyway, I already talked about that, and just because they keep putting out pictures that reinforce the hoax meme, right, it doesn't mean that there weren't really people killed. Okay, I must emphasize that. Very clever. And see, I have the advantage. I have personal friends, good friends that live in the Manchester area. I just happen to have friends over there. And these are people that, if anything, are more knowledgeable about these things than I am. They know all about false flags. They know about hoaxed events. They know about Sandy Hook. They know about the Boston Marathon faux bombing. Only people killed there were the two Tsarev brothers. Poor kids. They know all about 9/11. They know about the reptilian overlordship. They know about hyperdimensional interference. We're not talking about like surface level researchers here. We're talking about people who really know their way around this planet and this solar system and this dimension. Okay? They're the ones that are telling me there really were people killed. And the point I was going to make also earlier was that it appears that some of the people that went to pick people up have disappeared. And this begs the question, is this kind of a replay of what happened in the aftermath of the Paris nightclub event, where people that happened to just be standing out on the street and didn't even attend the musical performance, they disappeared too, right? Now, we're talking about evil people that went around the Balkans, the Ukraine, Moldavia, all these places, swooping on every available woman, young girl, young boy, and turning him into sex slaves, selling him in the open market, okay? That's how evil these people are. They're into human trafficking, they're into child sacrifice, they're into, you know, mass casualty events. I mean, you look at the mass area bombing of Germany in World War II. Just about every small village, town, so many without any military significance, strategic significance whatsoever, subjected to what they called saturation bombing or carpet bombing, waves and waves and waves of heavy bombers dropping explosives and incendiaries, just reducing to ashes countless German towns and villages and cities that had no strategic military significance. It was just a mass slaughter. And yet when we look at the 8th Air Force and the 15th Air Force, oh, they were heroes, right? They weren't heroes. They were committing mass murder. So it must be understood that that's the kind of force you're dealing with, the inhuman force that just holds human life beneath contempt. So keep that point in mind. Okay, let me read some of the other lyrics. This is a real doozy, too. Okay, the second stanza for Gyalchester by Drake, the White Draco. Yeah, October firm in the cut. Okay, stop right there. It's well known within certain circles of the intelligence community that the firm refers to MI6, British Intelligence, also known as SIS, Secret Intelligence Service. Okay? And right there in the second stanza of Gyalchester, it says, yeah, October firm in the cut. Right there, Drake is singing about MI6, British Intelligence, which has long been a wholly owned subsidiary of the tribalist collectivist Rothschild Zionists. That's just the way it is. Always has been, always will be. Here's the rest of the lyrics. Stay at the top like I'm stuck. That's just how I'm giving it up. She want to get married tonight, but I can't take a knee because I'm wearing all white. Okay? Me and my Broski are twins, but we don't look alike. I don't take naps. Me and the money are way too attached to go and do that. Interesting line, too. Me and the money are way too attached. He was born to a Jewish father, so he was born in the money. He says, me and my Broski are twins, but we don't look alike. Well, if it's, I don't know if he's got any stepbrothers or whatever, but chances are, right, he probably doesn't look like him. Me and the money are way too attached to go and do that. So he talks about being born into money and basically being under control. And then you go further down. Again, the Hermes lyric. Hermes link, ice blue mink, tat on my ribs like I do not know what permanent is. They want me gone out of the picture. Bury me now. Again, Bury is a suburb of Manchester. And bury me now and I only get bigger. That's word to my nigga. And you go further down. Here's another interesting stanza. I'm so hot. Yeah, I'm so right now. Who's not, gang bitch? Let me find out. Keep hearing clicks when I'm talking on the iPhone. Feds in the city hate to see us on a high note. Okay. Keep hearing clicks when I'm talking on the iPhone. Well, geez, you know, sounds like he's under some kind of surveillance. Further down, I switch flow like I switch time zone. Switch, very common term to denote people switching in and out of different states of consciousness, different altered personalities. Key point here, I switch flow like I switch time zone, right? Flow of consciousness, flow of energy, switch time zone. And many people describe the sense of timelessness when they go from one altered personality to another. They have missing time. They don't know what their altered personalities get up to. I also talked about Hermes / Thoth being essentially a god of time also, because he was responsible for adding the 5 extra days, which simultaneously appeared on the calendars of all sophisticated civilizations on Earth at the same time, these extra days on the calendar. Thoth was responsible for that. So, right off the bat, when you look at the lyrics of Gyalchester, which has to do with Manchester, by Drake, the White Draco, and he's talking about, the pretty girls in Manchester, supposedly Manchester, Paris, Jamaica, but really Manchester, young girls in Manchester, UK. And then you have Drake singing there within a stone's throw of the Eiffel Tower, a big phallic symbol. Las Vegas, right by Route 66. Clearly, this was set up. And what are the themes that they keep pushing, right? Well, they're interviewing kids and they're framing the question, did you see this person who went in there? Did you see him get frisked? Did you see him get checked? Was there any checkpoints? And everyone's saying, no, no, no. The impression they want to give is there's not enough security, because what they want, because they're going to the next stage of manipulation, the next stage of control, they want security checkpoints all over the place. They want a replay of Northern Ireland, where the British military had set up checkpoints, and the British military and the Ulster loyalist had gone so far as to conduct illegal detainments, internments of Irish nationalists, or basically anyone who protested against the British military occupation. They protested against being persecuted. They began, the British and their loyalists there in what the British called Ulster, Northern Ireland, which the Irish Republicans, the Irish nationalists, always refer to as the Six Counties, because they never believed that they lost that part of Ireland to the British Crown, right? So what happened was, in early 1970s, all these Irish Catholics, Irish citizens, began getting interned, detained illegally, and they protested. The British Paris came out, shot a bunch of protesters. This became known as Bloody Sunday. In retaliation, the IRA set off a bomb in Aldershot, the British Para Regiment headquarters. And again, it shows the difference in how the media coverage works. It was the same controlled media then, but nowadays they're definitely pushing this meme, okay? Whereas before, like, let's take the example of the IRA bombing of the British Parachute Regiment headquarters at Aldershot. The British authorities and the BBC and the media, they minimize the number of casualties. Oh no, they didn't get many high-ranking officers, they didn't get many soldiers. And the IRA said, oh, you're lying, we got a lot of high-ranking officers, we got a lot more casualties than you're letting on. Nowadays, it's completely different. Nowadays, before we even know what happened, they're splashing the faces of the people that were killed in our faces, because they want that high emotional content. And don't be surprised if they slip in the process, in social media and in the regular lamestream media, if they slip in the face of a known crisis actor, someone who's figured prominently in some event or some cheap B-grade movie in the past, right? Just the people. Add confusion in the mix so people can point out and say, oh, see, this person, they're saying he's killed or she's killed. This person is a crisis actor. We look at this picture of this person in the past. So they're going to mix in a lot of that, folks. Don't fall for it. Well, you can if you want. I'm not telling you what to do. So, but the point of relevance is, by constantly pushing this meme that they didn't have enough security checkpoints at the Manchester Arena, they want to bring a replay of Northern Ireland. They want to bring the oppressive security we find in West Bank and Gaza. They want to bring that into the West now. The in your face, where are your papers, just beating people up for no reason. And you see the weird dichotomy at work, okay? They're saying ISIS did this, ISIS did that, clash of civilizations. Well, eventually someone's going to have to stand up to all these raping immigrants, right? Someone's going to have to do something about them. Oh, I'm not advocating violence, but when it comes to protecting one's home, one's, family, et cetera, someone's going to have to do something, because now, the tribalist collectivists are saying, and have been, that, oh, Norway's too white. Norway's too white. We need to bring more immigrants there. It's not enough that, Sweden has been taken over by, immigrants. It's not enough that Scandinavia and Holland and Germany and all these traditionally European white countries have just been taken over. That's not enough. They want to create this caliphate under their control and just turn it loose because of their hatred for the West. So, yeah, it's leading towards a clash of civilizations. There's no doubt about that, because eventually it's not going to have anything to do with anyone else's agenda. Eventually, it's going to come down to protecting one's own family, protecting one's livelihood. So we have to take that into account too, that they're really pushing all across the board. They want to fragment society, atomize it, civil war all across the board. And so we're going to start seeing this push now for security checkpoints a la Northern Ireland, a la West Bank and Gaza, where everyone's going to be channeled like cattle into these checkpoints. It's all going to be biometric nowadays, right? Retina scanning, all that stuff. So, and again, the dichotomy, it's like they're not going to subject all these these immigrants to the security. No, it's just going to be the natives, if you will, the people who've been living in the West all along. They're the ones that are going to be subjected to all this abuse. You watch. And another thing also, one last thing about these fake witnesses is they're just there in your face to reinforce the hoax meme. Like when the news presenters on TV in England are interviewing the guy by phone who says he was blown 30 feet through the air and he saw these people being blown apart. Yeah, it's like, why does everyone else get blown apart and you only get blown 30 feet in the air and you come up none the worse for wear? It's designed, it's a psyop designed for people to say, complete BS, complete nonsense, I'm not buying it, right? So they're going to filter in a lot of that. They're going to filter in pictures that suggest that it's all a hoax. But again, it's not a hoax. People were really killed. They're just not showing you those pictures. And people outside the arena, on the street, in the parking lot, they've disappeared, okay? See, nobody asked the question, well, all these people that boarded these flights for 9/11, what happened to them, right? Well, I'll tell you what happened to some of them. Chances are they loaded them at gunpoint onto buses or loaded them into, big warehouses somewhere on some part of the airfield, and then they were never heard from again, right? Because these are evil people. These are people that carpet bombed little villages in Germany. These are people that are into human trafficking, right? So, yeah, what happened to all the people who boarded all the flights? Either they canceled the flights, which they didn't, supposedly, or they corralled all the people that showed up at the departure gates and they made them disappear, folks, right? Stop and think about that. What happened to all the passengers for all those flights, right? And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I don't think planes crashed into the Twin Towers. I don't think a plane crashed into the Pentagon. That was a hoax. That was a psyop. But the people that went to board those flights, what happened to them? If the flights never took off, if that was all a psyop, what happened to all the passengers, right? Well, they made them disappear. Because the hoax doesn't work if the people come back and say, well, honey, I thought you were supposed to be on that flight that crashed into, the Twin Towers. What are you doing here? I'm glad you're here, but geez, what happened, right? No, they don't want that. Dead men and dead women and dead children don't tell tales. So they made those people disappear, okay? So what we're seeing, folks, is a pattern here of people who disappear in the wake of these events, some of which are blatantly, elements of some of these events are blatantly false, okay? And let me get back in the time I've got remaining to the White Draco aspect. Now, white has always been seen as purity, even in the Japanese culture. White has always been considered to be a color of purity. And then you get into the whole Aryan thing. You get into the whole caste system, which was set up essentially by the Dracos and the Reptilians, where there's a priesthood and then there's, all the way down to the Untouchables, right? Well, who do you think set all that up? Created this caste system. People have souls and therefore they should all be equal. But not according to these reptilians and Dracos. And at the top of the heap is the white Draco in the reptilian scheme of things. And I can't emphasize that enough. There's a guy out there, I think his name is Ken Bakeman. He's drawn some great pieces of art showing his depictions of white Draco that he's had encounters with, right? The white Draco only show up to certain people. And another thing about the Draco is, if they're really interested in someone, they're not going to rely on the lowly greys to do the medical procedures. They're going to go and do it themselves. The Draco, the reptilians, and the mantis will show up and do the medical procedures, extract the ovum, get the DNA samples, etc., etc., on their own. They're not going to trust the greys to do it because they know some of the grey underlings, some of their cosmic vassals, the various factions of the greys, they will begrudgingly do some of the, in fact, a lot of the heavy lifting for the reptilians and Draco, but they're also trying to carve out their own niche. They're also trying to get their own slice of the pie. So they're going to try to extract as much DNA for themselves, even though by all appearances they're working for the Draco, working for the reptilians, right? Now, when it comes to certain abductees, contactees, with certain unique DNA profiles, the Draco are not going to trust the lowly greys. Stay away from this person. This person is ours and ours alone. You're not going to extract any DNA from this particular person because we don't trust you to give us all the samples, right? That's what basically what the Draco is saying to some of the greys and other underling cosmic vassal ET races. When it comes right down to it, the Draco will, if they have to, they'll work on somebody themselves. They'll interact with somebody themselves. They'll try to frighten people themselves. They won't rely on the greys. And in the Draco reptilian scheme of things, the white Draco are at the top of the heap. So now what we're starting to see is with Drake, Gyalchester, the white Draco symbolized, right? And even Ariana Grande was wearing white. All that is to symbolize the white Draco. When you see at the weddings, you see the bride in the long white dressing gown, and you see the long tail that's held up in place by the maids of honor, by the by some kind of underling, let's say, in the wedding ceremony scheme of things. Okay, when they're holding up the tail of the dress, that's symbolic of the tail of the reptilians, right? And again, the purity of the bride in white, the white Draco. There is symbolic meaning to this. What they're doing is they're telling you, they're heralding the onset of a new era, a new phase of their agenda. They're going into a new agenda, a new part of the next part of the agenda. And they're trying to make all these things coalesce. Right now, they're running in parallel. The slow motion implosion of the financial system, these wars and rumors of wars, etc., etc. They're trying to bring them into sharp focus, trying to bring them in, coalesce into a spear point. Right now, they're running in parallel. They're trying to have a controlled descent, right? But they're going to find out, these Draco and all their underlings, that try as they might, things are not going to work out as they planned because there's still too many people waking up. We're not going to need billions of people to wake up, folks. A critical mass will be reached by far fewer people because just one of you out there, reintegrated, healed, know what you're all about. You're not forever trying to find yourself. You know, people that are always trying to find themselves, right? You should know what you're all about by now. You should know that you have some kind of internal navigator that is guiding you through this whole process. Every once in a while, you stray off the rails. You go off the rails. You kind of lose focus. But then you get back on, you know, the trail again. You keep marching. And just remember that we're not going to need billions of people. The tide has turned. A critical mass has already been reached. Because just one of you out there, healed, reintegrated, working on your healing, working on making your inner shadow your ally instead of your adversary, you've got more strength, more power than dozens of others. You have power and strength and connection to organic source manifesting as power out of all proportion to your overall numbers. Just one of you, just a handful of you, just a dozen of you, the kind of power you wield. Remember that. Always remember that. So let's recognize what's going on for what it is. And let's not be scared about it. We're looking at this as intelligence analysts. Again, go with what you feel. Don't take on board what I say. I'm not all-knowing, all-wise, you know, omniscient. I'm not. I'm just like you. But, you know, I've spent a lifetime studying intelligence, counterintelligence, the history of it, the craft of it, and with a good, healthy dose of intuition, picking up impressions. And because I'm in this field, I happen to know a lot of people out there, some key players, like my friends in the Manchester area, for example, right? And again, these people are as switched on as you'll find anywhere. And they're telling me there really are dead people. There really are casualties. There really are missing people. There really are families grieving, okay? Always remember that. But again, go by your own intuition. Deception. All warfare is based on deception. Not some, not most, all. And we find ourselves in this war right now. And it's a war for our souls, folks. Because if we don't do it right this time, right? I'm not going to leave you on a negative note, but just a reminder, if you don't do it this time, this process of soul harvesting, recycling will just go on ad infinitum. And people say, well, the last time we had a really good chance to break out of this orbit was 26,000 years ago. I don't think so. I think it was much further back than that. I think that we're getting a one-off chance to get it right this time. And not everyone's going to be, quote-unquote, saved either, right? Some people, a lot of people, are going to fall by the wayside. But you can't worry about that. You got to do what's right by you. You got to do what's right by your family. And just remember the innate power that you have, okay? Anyhow, you've reached the end of this segment of Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Wherever you may be, dear listeners, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.